Hey, this is Josh Chernoff from So Says Chernoff on Fight TV, and you are listening to Ringside Rant with RJ.
Hey, this is Darren from the band These Wolves, and you're listening to the Ringside Rant with RJ.
What's going on, you guys? Turbo here, and you're listening to The Ringside Rant. Turn it up, baby!
This is Chris McClain from the Turnip Hair Baseball Podcast, and you're listening to Ringside Rant.
What's up, Candy Lickers? Pleased to meet you. Nice to know me. It's me, your boy Cassio from Cassio's Cut Podcast, among other things. And you are listening to RJ Krasinski, host Ringside Rant. What's up, Candy Lickers? Pleased to meet you. Nice to know me. It's the one and only comedian Matt Mitchell, a.k.a. Cassio, host of Cassio's Cut Podcast. And you're listening to Ringside Rant with my buddy, RJ Krasinski, whatever it is. If you're hearing this message, you are listening to RJ Krasinski's own podcast, Cassio's Cut. Nope, that's mine. You should be listening to mine. Not sure why you're listening to Ringside Rant, but when you get through with it, listen to Cassio's Cut podcast, cassioscut.com. This is basically a shameless plug for me, not RJ.
This is Darren Paltrowitz from the Paltrowcast with Darren Paltrowitz, and you are listening to RJ Krasinski and the Ringside Rant.
This is Pauly B from Saved by the Pod, and you're listening to another episode of Ringside Rant with your host, RJ.
Welcome to Ranters Nation, and welcome back to the Ringside Rant. I have the honor of sitting down with the voice of the NWA today, the one, the only, Mr. Joe Galley. Joe, how are you doing today, my friend?
I'm doing just fine, RJ. How about yourself?
Yeah, I'm hanging in there. You know, it's been quite a little bit chilly up here in the Northeast. I'm sure it's probably a little chilly down there in Texas, but
actually, it's divine right now. It's super nice. And you can keep your cold weather. Where are you at in the Northeast?
I'm actually outside of Rochester, New York.
Oh, very cool. Very cool.
So, yeah, my Bills are down there in Houston tomorrow, so.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed.
Yeah, well, we can all hope. But yeah, exactly. This is a wrestling podcast, after all. We'll save the football talk for another time.
Sure.
For those of the listeners that aren't watching NWA, first of all, shame on you. Mm-hmm. But I'm just kidding, of course, but
you're right. You're right. Shame on them.
The NWA, I've I watched Into the Fire was the first pay-per-view. I've watched The Power since the inception, and I fell in love with the NWA again. I fell in love with that old school wrestling, and between yourself and Stu Bennett now, it's that voice where you just love that studio wrestling. But with that being said, how did you, first get into, into wrestling, and then obviously into the NWA?
Well, I started like so many as a really crappy worker. And that was 10 years ago. My buddy, Brandon Taylor, who now wrestles as Robert Baines and works for New Japan in their office at the Los Angeles Dojo. He's my best friend. And he found an ad in a newspaper. That's how old this is. He actually found it in a newspaper. That was a 2-for-1 deal at a wrestling school called the Fit Pit in Van Nuys, California. And he said, you want to go? And I said, all right. I was never athletic. I was always sort of a theater guy and newspaper guy. I didn't do any of the I wasn't a wrestler, like, from the high school sense. I didn't do football. But we got there, and from that first day, I just got hooked into it. I mean, I've always been a fan. I grew up during, the early stages of the Attitude Era. So I was always a fan from that point. And, always ordering WrestleMania and as many of the pay-per-views as we could afford to get. And then it just sprouted from there. And then I started to work in the Los Angeles area as a really bad wrestler who didn't have much body or size. And I kind of made it to where I was just kind of gross. I was doing a much worse version of Joey Ryan's gimmick, I guess you could say. And I did that for a number of years until I got my first television job in Toledo, Ohio. And so then I moved out there to do morning, fun, wacky reporter stuff. And I didn't wrestle so much there, a little bit up in Michigan and a little bit in Ohio. And then I got a job in Allentown, Pennsylvania. So I wrestled in the Lehigh Valley for a little bit. And then I came back to California and I was still in broadcast. I was working for the ABC station in Palm Springs, California. And at the time, my friend Brandon Taylor, who was wrestling as the Hobo, and he was the Hollywood Heritage Champion at Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, which was the show that's developed by David Marquez. And it just so happened at the time that Todd Kennelly was going to move on to his job at Impact, or TNA, whatever they were calling it at the time. And they needed somebody to come and be the straight man. And so I came there and I watched one red carpet rumble and I did a couple backstage interviews. And the next show I was sitting at the desk and Johnny LaQuasto, or as he's called now, John Quasto in WWE, was sort of the color. And I was sort of your regular play-by-play. Although, to be fair, we were both kind of play-by-play guys. I think in order to be a good color guy, you either need to come from a managerial background or you have to come from a worker's background. And seeing as he didn't really come from that, he was just a fan that had been there since day one or a part of the show since day one. But I think we made several years of good stuff, and it definitely shows because it made enough for him to get a good reel together. And he got to work for WWE, and I got picked to do NWA. So, I mean, that's how I met Billy Corgan when they first started the 10 Pounds of Gold series. Those first episodes were at Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. That's back when Tim Storm held the strap. And Billy Corgan just liked what I did, and him and Dave Lagana pulled me to the side, and they said, we want you to be the voice of the NWA. And I was shocked. This is Billy Corgan. This is the guy from the Smashing Pumpkins. I lost my virginity to the song Tonight Tonight in the back of an 89 Toyota Camry. And no, I didn't make it past the chorus. I know everybody asked that. But it just kind of snowballed. And it's one of those things. If you look at any of the stuff that Adam Pearce, who's a former NWA champion and currently works for WWE, to paraphrase, because I'm sure I'm going to screw this up, it's just work hard, treat people fairly, and show up, and good things will happen for you. And so that's just kind of been my philosophy, and that's how it's worked out.
Yeah, it's definitely worked out in your favor thus far, especially getting into this new regime of the NWA. Mm-hmm. And it's basically, to coin the phrase, I guess we could say, is, it started on fire. And it's only, it's only gone up from there, for coming from the first show to the next show to the next show.
Right.
And then that pay-per-view was absolutely, it was absolutely phenomenal. I was talking to Gary last week, Gary Horn from This is the NWA podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, I said, the one thing that made it that much better was the music and the entrances. Because I told him, I said, I looked at it, says, okay, when Marty Scurll came down and made his appearance, if he did not have that entrance, if he did not have that music, I don't think it would have gotten that big of a reaction there and obviously across social media, the way that, social media blew up for the good.
Right. And I think that that was all part of the plan. It's all part of the plan. If you drink Dom Perignon every day, it begins to start tasting like Gatorade. You need to save it for special occasions, and that's what makes it special. And so I think that that's going to be sort of the idea going forward, is during our pay-per-view events like Hod Times coming up on the 24th, we'll bring that back, because there will be something special and there will be special surprises. And I think in the coming episodes of NWA Power, you might see some certain surprises of some guys that might get music intro where some people don't, and there's good reason for it. So it's we're doing things very tactically and deliberately. And so that's the whole point. We want it to be special. And we want certain things to be highlighted, and having the music and the entrance down the steps is part of doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely one thing. I grew up, you know, in the era of that golden era of wrestling. You know, never really grew up with the NWA up here in the Northeast. It was all more of a WWF at that time stronghold. And now that, you know, you guys have come back, you know, you can go back and watch a lot of this stuff now digitally and watch all the old, you know, the Ric Flair matches, the Dusty matches, the Magnum matches. And it's just, you know, absolutely, I like I said, I enjoy it thoroughly. And plus I get to see a couple people I know in the stands every once in a while too. So that helps too.
Well, that's what's great about having that intimate crowd too, is that you see a lot of familiar faces that are there. And, you know, if you ask me, that's completely fine with me, because they're there and they're loud and they're having a great time. And I'd much rather see the same faces in the background than to see new faces who aren't going to appreciate it as much. And that's what's really nice about this product, is we have such a dedicated fan base of people who are either in Atlanta or they're more than willing to buy a plane ticket to be there. And that's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, I think there's a petition or some sort of agreement going across social media that to get Sandoval there as a permanent fixture in the NWA Power recordings.
I think he's just going to keep showing up and getting that front seat. So I don't think you need to worry about that. He'll be there.
Oh, no, I don't doubt that. I chat with him a few times online over Twitter, and I'm like, man, I don't know what it is, man. But, you know, I think, you know, it's that old Spider-Man routine. You see, it's all the more different it gets, the state still stays the same over time. And, you know, he definitely is, you know, that mainstay there. So so also, you know, for those of my listeners that aren't familiar, you have a reporter's job over at WOAI, NBC, and KABB, Fox, in San Antonio.
That's right.
So a lot of the times I have a degree myself in media communications, and I see a lot of the, you know, similarities between a regular TV reporter's job and then going over to the NWA, similar to what I'm doing with this, and then as well as the I do backstage interviews with a local independent promotion here in Rochester. So I try to take a little bit of this and kind of mix it. Mm-hmm. What similarities do you take going from, you know, the reporter's job to the NWA, or the other way around?
Well, what's great is I feel like they are very similar skill bases, but they're also different. I mean, you know, a reporter doing my reporting gig, I mean, I'm in and out in 2 minutes and it's done. Whereas doing an NWA Power taping, I mean, we're doing at least 3 episodes at a time, and you're going for the long haul or the 2-hour pay-per-view or whatnot. But it's all storytelling. I mean, that's all it really is at the end of the day. And it's conveying that story in a way that's going to make people have an emotional connection. Not to make your show depressing today, but I had an exclusive interview today with a wife who watched her husband get stabbed to death on New Year's Eve. And it's all about treating that story with, you know, the respect and reverence, and then at the same time making interesting and compelling television for our audience. And you can do the same thing with wrestling, whether it's, you know, the question mark coming out and having a very good time, or something much more serious that you got coming out with, like the storyline with our women's division. Mm-hmm. So it I feel like one hand really washes the other, and it's one of those things where it's just sort of been this perfect storm for me that I've been able to constantly hone these skills, not even knowing that they would land me here. But for the past, 10 years being in wrestling, 9.5 or something, I got to do the math now, being in broadcast journalism, all it does is the more I do one, it makes me better at the other.
Mm-hmm. And now for a lot, in myself included, a lot of those podcasters out there or, people that are in school or trying to get into broadcasting, mm-hmm. What is that advice that you would give to them to get to that point where, they're broadcasting on an NBC affiliate or a Fox affiliate across the country?
It's the same as any other profession, and it's just show up. And I guarantee you in Rochester, which I believe is market 30-something, 40-something, it's up there. Mm-hmm. And you can probably watch your local affiliates and kind of have a better idea on which ones maybe have more of a bankroll, which ones have less of a bankroll, which ones have a stronger reporting staff, which ones don't, which one you might like. And a lot of it's like you could show up to that station with a resume and just say, look, I'm here. I want to work the assignment desk. I'm passionate about doing news. I've been doing this, but I want to get into this. Is there anything that you need help with? And a lot of times there are places that'll put you part-time on assignment desks overnight on the weekends. And if you're good, you won't stay there long. And you can transition into editing. Or you could transition into being a cameraman, or you could transition into directing. And it's just about getting your foot in the door and having the confidence to show up with a resume tape and say, hi, you don't know me from anyone, but I'm from this town. I watch your newscast all the time, and I just want a job. Just let me get my foot in the door, and you won't regret it. And mm-hmm. there's a lot of people, in my experience, the people who have been very successful in journalism that, for instance, I went to school and graduated with, they really never left the Los Angeles area too much. They stayed at local stations there. They got an internship, and then they got a assistant writer's job, and they kind of worked their way up until eventually they were reporting or anchoring or executive producer. And so it's all about just showing up, putting in the work, being humble, just like anything else. Just like if you wanted to be a pro wrestler, if you wanted to be the next Eli Drake, you just need to go and start getting training. And I think the most important thing is learn who you are and be that and be able to convey a message to people that they can follow, whether it's a positive or negative one, and just show that you belong in that ring and you deserve to have their attention. And So really, if you want to be the head of a Fortune 500 company, if you want to be the anchor of the ABC station in Rochester, or if you want to be the next NWA World Heavyweight Champion, the paths to all those are very similar. It just means going there and going for it and leaving it all on the line and not being afraid to take, the side streets that you don't know where they're going to go. And you have no idea that, because that's how I ended up being with the NWA. I had no idea. I had no idea until they pulled me aside. But I'd done my time. I'd done a few years there with Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, and I put in the work. I never missed a taping, at least until that point. I think I got sick like the week after. But and you just show up and you do the work.
Yeah, it's one of those things too. Looking at it now, it's interesting to see the difference from 15 years ago to nowadays, especially in broadcasting, because this. So many things have changed, some for the good, some for the bad. How do you go from keeping up with all that stuff that changes, seems like hourly sometimes?
It definitely is different, when I was working at that station north of Allentown in the Poconos, it was a cable news station. So I don't know what your cable affiliate, like for instance out here it's in Texas it's Spectrum, and so they have a Spectrum news channel. Mm-hmm. There they had Blue Ridge Communications was the cable company, and so they had a Blue Ridge Communications news program that was on at 5, 6, and 10, Monday through Friday. And they were very adamant to not do anything on the internet. They didn't want stories on the web. They didn't want you to post too much on social media. They wanted to save everything for the broadcast. And I very much doubt they're doing it now. Mm-hmm. And I would be very surprised if they're doing it now, because that's just not the way that's consumed. And even professional wrestling, to a point, that's not how it's consumed. For instance, I cut the cord. I don't pay for cable. So I do miss watching AEW. Mm-hmm. I do watch their After Dark because it's on YouTube and I can watch it there. You can watch NWA Power because it's on YouTube, and we're able to have fans all over the world. I mean, I've had people reach out to me on Instagram from Italy that are watching our program, and we wouldn't be able to do that if it was just a traditional television broadcast. So I think, you know, some people give NWA Power heat, especially when it first started, like, why isn't this on TNT, or why isn't it on USA, or why isn't it on name whatever alphabet soup cable station. We could have gone that route, but you limit it and you can't see it. For instance, D-Man Dan Parker, he's unable to watch any AEW stuff in his hometown in Canada because they don't get that cable station. It's an American cable station. And so you've lost that entire continent of fans, whereas we haven't. And so I think that's why it's so different in the way that we've done this. And in the same route, we're really pushing our social media hard, and all the people that work on that are going gangbusters with it. We tweet and post videos and send clips out, and we really do get that engagement with fans. And I try to retweet as many people as I possibly can Tuesdays at 6:05 while those shows going, or even throughout the rest of the week, because there are people who tweet about NWA Power, you know, on a Saturday morning, because that's when they had a chance to watch it. Mm-hmm. So I'll tell you what, a lot's different, but a lot remains the same. And I think what you'll end up seeing, you know, we do a lot of fun commercials, those fun commercials that are all put together. And Dave Ligon is very creative with, you know, trying to get the right people together to put those together. But it wouldn't surprise me if in the coming seasons you end up seeing a Pepsi commercial or a Coca-Cola commercial or something else in there, because there's an interest and people want to make money, and it gets views, and that's what it really takes.
Yeah, because I've had that same conversation with a lot of people, you know, about the NWA. Okay, well, why is it only on YouTube? Why is it on TV? I said, just give it time. Just give it time. They got to get this, you know, get the fan base back, because you see a lot of these fans are coming back to watching professional wrestling now because they're seeing, oh, there's all this NWA stuff. Oh, I used to watch this years ago. No, let's go back and watch it. Do you, you know, not so much near future, but, you know, a little bit more distant future, do you see the NWA eventually getting to that mainstay broadcast network, whatever that may be?
Well, Billy Corgan brought up an excellent point at our last taping, or maybe it was Dave Ligon that brought it up. But anyways, it's owned by Billy Corgan, and we're the only wrestling company right now that puts out a weekly televised show that's not owned by a billionaire. So... and what I think is most important to Billy and to David Lagana and everybody there is we want to keep in control of this product. And when you start making relationships with other broadcasting companies, and they're multinational and they have shareholders, they get a say and they get, you know, an opportunity to pipe up and perhaps change things. But the way that we're doing it now, we have complete and total control of the show. And so we could do whatever we want, and we're still putting out the same great product that we would. I will tell you this, it would not surprise me if with these other shows that we're doing, such as Girl Power and Circle Squared, to start seeing more stuff that'll be outside of the NWA arena at the GPB studios, and to start seeing things taped in other locations and stuff like that. For instance, the Crockett Cup pay-per-view, which was done in North Carolina, or the NWA 70th anniversary show, which was done in Tennessee. So I would not be surprised if you saw that sort of stuff and us branching out for bigger shows and pay-per-views somewhere outside of Atlanta. But I will tell you right now, if we continue to be profitable and we stay where we are and we continue to make a product everyone likes, I have absolutely no problem with it staying on YouTube and never going to broadcast. And I think the other thing you have to keep in mind is, yes, you've got all these people that are, you know, in their 40s and 50s, and they're like, wow, I remember the NWA, and this is really great. But you have a vast majority more wrestling fans that are between the ages of 5 and 14. Mm-hmm. And they might never watch cable news, or cable television, I should say. They might never watch cable television. They might only watch the small screens in their hands or their laptop or their iPad, or maybe go to the movies or the stuff that they put on their TV. Before you called me today, I was watching BoJack Horseman on Netflix. I wasn't watching regular television. You know, I'm watching a streaming service. And so that's the future. It's here. That's what people are going to be watching things on for the foreseeable future. So I don't see us ever needing to go and move to one of the Alphabet Soup cable networks and lose control of something that we hold so dear.
Yeah, it's funny that you brought up the 5 to 14 demographic there with wrestling. Is I have a 7-year-old son myself, and I'm starting to kind of wean him into watching wrestling a little bit. And he's actually watched a couple NWA Powers with me before. And his favorite wrestler right now, because it changes every day, mm-hmm. is the Cowboy, James Storm, because yep. he's got the look. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, it's a cowboy. I said, okay, if that's who you like, bud. I'm like, because he's watched all the other promotions, the WWE and New Japan, all that stuff. So, you know, try to broaden his horizon a little bit anyways.
Well, there's just so much wrestling out there. And I feel for you being the parent of a child who you're getting into wrestling, because there's just so much content out there. I mean, you could essentially watch wrestling 24/7 all the time and never watch the same thing twice in a month, you know? So it's just being able to digest that and understand storylines that are happening, that it's pretty insane.
Yeah, I think more at this point, he's more of a hey, let's see the Flash, kind of as he says their costumes. Yeah. more than the wrestling, obviously,
I was the same way when I was a younger guy. My top two wrestlers in WWE were Kane and Mick Foley. Yeah. So I gravitated to these extreme characters, which, you know, a godlike demon and this incredibly insane human being that'll get tossed off the Hell in a Cell. And, you know, other people that I'd be watching wrestling with might be more inclined to like, you know, Shawn Michaels or Stone Cold or something like that. But there is that perfect age where the mystical or just the really cool, like just the super appealing. And so, and that's what's great about our show, is we have so many people with so many different skill sets and so many different gimmicks. For instance, the question mark, we had no idea the question mark would do so well and would become such a force on our roster. We thought it initially, you know, this is just going to be a funny thing that we might do once. And now the question mark, I think his t-shirts are selling just as good as anybody else's, if not better. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've actually had a listener that just listened to the last couple of weeks of my show. He's the Masked Fan on Twitter. For anybody out there that don't follow him, go follow him. He's a great follow. He actually his gimmick is he is the son of the question mark.
That's fantastic.
So, and
I'm all for it.
Exactly. But that's why it's like I love watching the NWA, because you get a little nostalgic from back watching it, whenever you've watched it recently, like I have over the last number of years, watching the old stuff, the way that social media is now, you throw it in YouTube or any of these platforms and you can watch it. It's like, mm-hmm. damn, I still, you know, one of my favorite matches was, I think it was Flair and Harley in a cage. And yeah. It was just absolutely, you know, they beat the tar out of each other, but, you know, they told that story. And that's what I'm looking forward to with the NWA is, you know, the story that you have with Tim Storm and you have with Nick Aldis and everybody else around. But if you put your blinders on and you just watch this story and it unfolds so well.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, that's what we're trying to do. I mean, believe me, there's a lot of independent wrestling shows out there and even some stuff that gets a lot of coverage, and the wrestling's there and the wrestling's fantastic and the aerial acrobatics are phenomenal, but sometimes the story's lacking, and that's something that you'll never see with us. We're always going to drive the story first.
And I've told numerous people too, I love the idea of having an event, whether like your tapings on Tuesdays at 6:05 and your pay-per-views at 6:05, because it's just, it's not like you're in, you're out kind of wrestling, but you're in. It's like, oh my God, it's been an hour or two already. Holy crap. You know? And it's like, but it's so entertaining too. So it's like, it flies by so fast.
It does. And I think that's what's really great about our show. Especially when you have other products out there that, you know, some people might feel are bloated and they take a long time and there's an awful lot of commercial breaks, and just to get through it, I mean, you'd have to have it on a DVR so that you can blow through the things that doesn't interest you. And so I think having a digestible product is super important too. I mean, it's the same way when you look at movies. I mean, with some exception, I mean, the best movies fit to somewhere in that 90-minute mark, because when you start getting more than that, you start losing out on it. So like there's a definite time for everything. And I think us having this, what is essentially an hour-long broadcast weekly and a two-hour pay-per-view every few weeks or so is really what people want to have and what people really want to be able to enjoy.
Definitely. And like I said, I've used it and I caught myself using it so many times. You started on fire and you guys have started on fire. And I hope, you know, each and every event get better each and every event. So I can't wait to see, like I said, what January 24th has to come with Hard Times, your next pay-per-view for the NWA.
Right.
And I'm thrilled to see you guys have brought back the TV title, and you're going to be having that, your champion there.
Isn't that fantastic? It's such a good looking belt.
Oh my God.
It's such a good looking strap.
And it's just, you see a lot of people sending out, tweeting out pictures of old champions where, you know, having, whether they be, you know, Arn or Tully or any of these guys that are there. And it's like, man, that is just so good looking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, with that being said, did you guys have it remade, or is this one of the, you know, the copies of the originals, you know, handed down?
I believe it is an actual version of it. I don't think it's a copy or a remake, because I don't remember the story, but David Lagana has a long story about getting that specific strap. Mm-hmm. And I wish I could remember it right now, but the story escapes me. But I'm fairly certain, I'm 100% certain it is not a recreation of a belt. It is one of the originals. You know how it is in wrestling. Some things get changed and moved around a little bit. Sometimes things disappear, but it's definitely one of those originals that you've seen in all those old videos.
It's one of those things too, for a lot of, you know, people that follow the show, for me, or follow the NWA on Twitter or whatever, they are, you know, one, they're fans, and two, at the end of the day, but they're also these belt nerds out there, you know, guys. And for those of you out there, you know who you are. I'm not going to call anybody out, but you know who you are. But if it's one thing, it's one thing that's even better about the NWA. I keep on doing one thing after another, but it's these belts. You get the 10 pounds. Now you have the TV title. You have the national title. And then even you got your own version of the women's title and the tag team title. It's like, oh my good God.
Those tag team title belts, that big gold eagle on them, man, those things are legit. I think they're probably my favorite title belt design that we have in the NWA right now.
I'd even put it up against any of the other title belts in the business, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah.
Currently, and even maybe even all time, because they're so well made. Now, who's made those? Do you know?
I don't have any of that sort of information. Okay. I wish I did. I don't have any of that sort of stuff. But I can tell you that, I mean, they're heavy and they look good on TV. And by God, do they look good on the Rock and Roll Express, don't they?
Oh, man. I had the pleasure of meeting them at StarCast in Baltimore. And I just went up to him and I just said, thank you so much. You know, my grandfather, you know, got me watching you guys back in, you know, the late 80s when I basically, you know, I could barely walk and, you know, just reliving that memory. I'm like, man, that was, I don't think I've heard a pop like that when they won those tag titles. Oh, I don't think I've heard a bigger pop.
It was fantastic. Nobody thought that was going to happen. And boy, am I glad that it did.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We're not the only ones. I know that for sure. So I got a couple of listeners' questions I got in from Twitter, from a few of my listeners. The first one comes from @CountrySnowman. I can't make that handle up. You can go out and find him too. But he asked, does the NWA, to your knowledge, own any videos of matches and programming of past matches or events that the WWE hasn't been able to quote unquote collect?
That is a fantastic question, and I don't believe so. I feel like if we did have it, we would use it more often. So I do believe that the network, as great as that is, I mean, that is such a great resource for anybody who wants to get back and to watch old episodes of Georgia Championship Wrestling, and you can see a lot of the similarities. You can do it on the network. I mean, I pay for the network. I love being able to watch NXT and all that other sort of stuff. So it's great to be able to have that as a resource. But I don't think we actually own any of those things. I think what we're doing right now is focusing more on the future and then just showing reverence to the past.
Mm-hmm. He also brought up, too, something that we'll piggyback off the TV title conversation we just had. Do you know if I don't know. I don't think they do. But do you think WWE owns a version of the TV title?
I'd have to imagine. It wouldn't surprise me if you went to their corporate offices in Stamford, Connecticut, that there's a trophy case in there and the old NWA TV titles in there. That wouldn't surprise me. I'm sure that they would, because it is part of history and it's part of what the NWA evolved into when it became WCW, and then WCW got bought by WWE. So,
yeah,
in which they got everything,
right,
including all that history. So, I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. I feel like our belt's better.
I don't doubt that. Like I said, I think you guys got some of the best looking ones in the business, if not the best. But I'm sure we could probably talk for endlessly for about belts, and I'm sure people wouldn't object about that. But
yeah.
Our next question comes from my buddy Turbo @OfficialTurbo on Twitter. He asked, on your off time, when you do have off time, what are the things that you do that people didn't or don't know you like to do?
I've been getting really into Brazilian jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai recently. I've been doing that for 9 months to a year almost, doing that pretty regularly. December was a slow month because we had, just a lot of stuff going on. I got sick, blah, 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 blah. Typical excuses to not go and roll. So that's kind of my new interest that I kind of dive headfirst into. And so that's been fine. I'm not a big mixed martial arts guy. I couldn't tell you any of the champions that are in UFC right now. I was there for Thunder Rosa when she went into the cage. I was there ringside when she went and did her thing in there. And that was super fun. But I have to say it is it's really nice to be able to go and roll with people and then just be completely and totally humbled, And, I'll show up to the gym and there'll be a 14-year-old Asian schoolgirl and she'll just get behind me like a spider monkey and, give me a cross collar choke and I'm tapping out this, 90-pound girl or whatever. And it's super humbling when you go up against people that have been doing it since they were 5 years old and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So and I feel like that also in doing that is also making me better as a broadcaster when it comes to when you're watching, a catch-as-catch-can style match where you're seeing a lot of those skills because you do have people that are in the NWA that have an extensive background in Brazilian jiu-jitsu or Muay Thai or kickboxing and those sorts of things. Allison Kay comes to mind. Thunder Rosa comes to mind. And it's nice to be able to have all that terminology, in the filing cabinet in the back of my brain so that I can use that to try to help tell the story. So I've been doing a lot of that. And I used to be really into craft beer up until I hit about 31. And then my metabolism just shut down. I don't know how old you are, man. But, like, I drink two beers and my pants don't fit the next day.
Yeah.
So I used to be really into that. And, like, I would get with my buddies, make craft beers and stuff like that. But I just can't do it anymore. I just feel so fat and bloated the next day. Oh, which is probably better for me anyways.
No, I'm 35 too, and I've, you know, a lot of my friends at my shoe job and whatnot, they go to the breweries here, or they go to the, these beer stores, and they get these beers that are, you know, the sour beers, or they're you know, the heavy beers, and I'm like, they're like four the tall boys for, I think it's like $9 a beer. I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I'm like, if I drink one, it'll take me probably, you know, a day or two to recover because I'm so out of it.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. So, yeah. So then I switched to scotch and everything's better now. So,
well, there you go.
I still get my medicine.
I need my medicine.
Yeah, exactly. And then I got really into having cats. I'm a cat dad. Got three cats.
Hey,
hanging out with two of them right now. I got Ted, Billy, and Megatron. We call her Ronnie for short. And I never thought I'd be a cat person until, you know, you start dating a girl who's a cat person, and then all of a sudden, where are all these cats coming from? So
one turns into two turns into four, and then better than you got like a community.
Oh man, we got this cat colony outside of where I live, and we feed these cats. And technically, by the letter of the law in the state of Texas, if you feed a cat daily, it's your cat. So technically, by the letter of the law, I have probably 14 cats.
Oh, wow.
So, which is pretty nuts. I'm looking at them right now. They're on my porch, you know, hanging out, eating the food that I left for them a little while ago. So,
waiting to be fed more.
Waiting to be fed more. There's food right there. Just eat that. Come on.
Hey, you know, they keep on coming around. They're getting fed, you know.
Oh, you know,
can't blame for that.
Now they're starting to spread into different species. We're getting possums that are showing up, and raccoons, and the skunk. Which I don't like the skunk because it sprayed once, and boy, was that rough. Because it went right through the windows. Like, it doesn't even matter that they're closed. It was just, oh my God. It smelled like a Cypress Hill concert in my apartment. It was awful.
Just one big haze.
Yeah, man. It was rough.
Oh, man. I can't imagine. But so my last listener's question comes from Squared Circle Countdown, who's at Squared Top 10 on Twitter. They ask, if the NWA didn't sign the great talent that is Stu Bennett to be your partner, who would you wanted to see get signed to broadcast next to you?
You know, that is a great question because after Jim Cornette had quit, I had no idea who they were going to fill in for quite some time. But I trust in Magana, and I trust in Billy Corgan to pick someone good. And boy, did they pick someone fantastic. I would have to say what's really great now is having Pope there. And I feel like if for some reason, you know, whatever were to happen, I feel like Pope could fit in that spot. He's done commentary before for other places. He has quite a character. The guy can talk. He's very creative. He'd be a fantastic color guy. I've done commentary with Colt Cabana on a couple of times I filled in on ROH shows that came by here in San Antonio. And I've worked with him for a number of years over at Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. So he's always good as a good color guy. And then I'm going to pick my favorites. Here's a dark horse nobody that listens to your podcast has probably heard of, but he is a Buffalo, New York native, and he wrestles as Dan Joseph. And he is a mainstay of Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, and he was out with a knee injury, but he wanted to keep working. So they moved him to doing color commentary, and he is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely hilarious. Great at what he does. Great at analyzing the wrestling, being a proficient and an active pro wrestler for a number of years. He had a great look. He had that great Buffalo voice.
Mm-hmm.
And so any of those guys, I could call matches with every day for the rest of my life, and I feel like it would be a fantastic product.
Yeah, no, I can definitely relate to having the Buffalo voice. I actually grew up outside of Buffalo, and then has since moved out here to the Rochester area. Right. And for the longest time since I've been doing this show, I've always had, I've had one person like convinced I was Canadian. I don't know how it happened. I just
you're close enough. You're close enough. Just, I'm just across the lake.
Exactly. You know, you can just take a swim or something. You go over to Canada.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's one of those things where a lot of people that are just getting into wrestling or, you know, have been out for a while and coming back, they don't realize how crucial, you know, that, you know, how crucial the broadcast is between like yourself or Stu or whomever is with you, because you guys are that voice.
Right. Yeah. And I'll watch indie promotions that either they just won't have commentary, or they'll just have a guy that's yelling out moves or stuff like that, or people who are being, I think one of the reasons I'm in the position I'm in is because I don't consider myself the star of the program. And I don't want to be the star of the program. The stars of the program are in the ring. I'm just there to steer the ship, you know, and I'm there to make sure that that storyline that we're telling gets across, and that it's entertaining and it's understandable and it's professional. And there are certain promotions out there that take a different angle and they go a different route, and it makes it, I don't like it. Mm-hmm. And it's mostly like, you know, the smaller promotions that you're going to see. I follow a lot of my buddies when they go to these smaller promotions that you might see on Twitch or Fight TV or something like that. And it's rough. It's rough. I mean, I'll sometimes watch their match on mute and I'll call it myself. I've done that a few times. It's like, I don't like the way this guy's talking. Mute, and then I'll just call it myself. And that'll be fun, too. That's a fun weekend until my girlfriend comes out from the bedroom going, why are you yelling? It's 11 in the morning. Why are you yelling?
You know, it's funny. My wife does the same thing, too. And I tell her, hey, I'm watching New Japan or something. I'm watching, like, for example, they start their Wrestle Kingdom tomorrow morning at 2 in the morning here on the East Coast.
Oh, boy.
And I already told her, she's like, you're nuts. I don't know how. She's like, you're crazy. I said, I have to watch. This is one of the only ones I watched from New Japan over the year.
And it's such a great show. I love it. It's so good.
And now they've done it for 2 days.
Over the top, and it's so good. I love it. I've loved New Japan for a very long time. And their product, it's so different, and it's so fun. And, you know, like I said, my best friend works in the office at their LA dojo, and I love everything that they're doing right now. And it's just so fun. And I'll mark out to New Japan stuff all day.
Mm. You know, they're getting a lot of play, and I don't think it's rightfully so, you know, from the whole deal that they had with, I believe it's Access TV here in the States, that they're not renewing next year. I said, well, how do you know that they're not going to be in the States? Just give it time.
Yeah,
because this is, you know, this is a land or a gold mine for them, especially over here in the States.
I went to the G1 Climax in Dallas as a reporter, so I got to, you know, get my travel covered and all this other sort of stuff because I was going to make a story about it. So, you know, you get the press pass and all that, but it was basically just an excuse for me to go and watch it. And it was super dope, and there were 8,000 fans there, and they were hot. And they want more, and they want to buy more shirts, and they want to buy more wrestling. And this is Dallas. Not one of those people in that arena spoke Japanese other than the Japanese talent. I'll guarantee you that. But they have made this connection with these people from Japan. And they love the wrestling, and they love the stories, and they love the characters. And there's money to be made for that brand here in the United States for sure.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. No doubt on that. That's for sure. But... you know, lastly, Joe, I just have to thank you so much between you being sick from the taping over in Atlanta.
Hey, you know what? Yeah, that was rough. But I tell you, I thought that this was going to be difficult, but I've only had to hit the mute button twice to cough, so maybe I'm hitting the tail end of this thing. Maybe you're my cure for the flu. Maybe I need to call you up next time. I got a tickle in my throat.
Hey, anytime you're sick or you need to pick me up, you can always hit me up. I'm more than willing to. I won't even record. I swear to God.
Just chat it out. I love it.
There you go. There you go. But Joe, thank you so much.
Of course.
You know, it's definitely a pleasure to finally sit down and chat with you. Like I said, definitely dig in what you guys are doing with the NWA and you specifically there in the broadcast booth with Stu. And I'm definitely looking forward to January 24th And for anybody out there that has not bought that yet, go over. I believe you guys are going through Fight TV again for that.
That's right. We are. Special pre-order price, and that price will go up. So if you want to save a few bucks, because you know you're going to buy it anyways, you might as well buy it now and pre-order now on Fight TV. And then, as always, just follow the NWA on Twitter, at NWA, and then YouTube.com/NWA. That's where you're going to find all the good stuff, man.
Yeah. You know, and what are ways that people can get a hold of you if they want to, you know, chat with you or talk to you for their podcast?
You know, the wrestling community is all about Twitter. So if they want to hit me up on Twitter, it's just Joe Galley News at Twitter. And at some point, I got to change that news to an NWA. I think I need to cut off a letter in there. But you'll find me there. And I take, you know, slide into my DMs and we'll talk wrestling.
There you go. Definitely, like I said, definitely a pleasure to finally chat with you. Hopefully this will be the first of many, and you know, keep up the good work there at the NWA.
Well, thank you very much.
A big thank you has to go out to the voice of the NWA himself, one, the only, Mr. Joe Galley, for coming on, for fighting through the flu a couple weeks ago. Fighting through the flu again this week, a true and a consummate professional, Joe Galley. I appreciate you. I tip my hat to you. Ladies and gentlemen, please go over, follow this man wherever you can across social media. Make sure you subscribe to the NWA on YouTube, because you're not going to want to miss this great action. Go over and purchase Hard Times, January 24th. The NWA puts on a great product, and you're not going to want to miss this. And there's only one way that you can see this show, and that's on Fight.tv. So go over and buy it early, because as the time goes on, the price is going to go up. So you know you want it. Go out and get it right now at Fight.tv. With that being said, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. This next couple weeks is going to be my coming out party. The next couple guests that I have will be some of the best guests I've ever had on this show. So go over and subscribe right now to the Ringside Rant wherever you get podcasts, because you're not going to want to miss an episode. I guarantee it. For everybody that has helped me out thus far, Damian Purvis, Jay-Z Flair, my man Turbo, Adam Rotella, Gary Horn, everybody that has helped me get this program over here to make this sound a lot better than I actually am, a big thank you goes out to Jay Baum from Talkamania too. We Skyped numerous times to try to figure out what the best options are for me to make this show great. And for everybody that has supported me all over, you know who you are. I'm afraid I'm going to miss somebody. Those names are coming off the top of my head right now. But like I said, if you've helped me without a shadow of a doubt, I thank you very much. That's all I have to say. So head over to Twitter right now and make sure you follow me at RingsideRant_RJ. Go over, subscribe wherever you get podcasts. Go over to iTunes. Give me a 5-star review. I'll give you a shout out on the show. I appreciate everybody that has asked questions this week. You know who you are. You're going to get tagged in that without a doubt. Also, furthermore, I want to thank everybody that has done the intros to start off the show. Saved by the Pod, Turn a Pair Baseball Podcast, Darren Paltrowitz, Cassio Kid, you know, everybody that has done it, Josh Chernoff, everybody that has done and helped me out with this show, I appreciate it so much. I apologize if I've forgotten anybody, but with that being said, subscribe, because you're not going to want to miss the next 4 interviews. I guarantee it, you're gonna want to hear this. And you know what time it is. It's time to join Ranters Nation.
Psst, hey, kid. Have you ever heard of the Mr. Warren Hayes Show? Yes, I have, because I am he, Mr. Warren Hayes, host of the Mr. Warren Hayes Show. The Mr. Warren Hayes Show is a weekly wrestling discussion program. I like to talk about WWE, New Japan, AEW, NWA, and more, talking about it seriously, but not too seriously, so it's always a good time. So join me live every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, on youtube.com/Mr. Warren Hayes. Or you can also find the Mr. Warren Hayes Show on your favorite podcast application. But if you do want to join us live every Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern, youtube.com/Mr. Warren Hayes, and I hope to see you there soon.
I have a great deal for you with our friends over at Power Slam TV. If you head over there and give the promo code Ringside Rants, you get your first 30 days free. Yes, I said free. So if you head over to Power Slam TV and use the promo code Ringside Rants, right there where you put that promo code, you get 30 days free. So a big thanks to our great sponsors over at Power Slam TV.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others, with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.